to the book of Revelation and the penultimate chapter, chapter 21, and read together the first five verses. Revelation chapter 21, and reading at verse number 1. Part of the vision of the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, and he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And may the Lord bless to our hearts the short reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, for the comfort of the word of the living God. And though, Lord, we live in a world faced with many difficulties, many trials, many anxieties, many sorrows, yet, our Father, we thank thee that ultimately we have the victory through he who is the Alpha and the Omega, our blessed Lord and our Savior, the beginning and ending and finisher of our faith. And today we pray that thou would close us in with thyself, take away every distracting thought that the devil would bring to our minds. And Father, we pray that thou would focus our attention upon what God has said. And Father, we pray that thou would apply that word to every heart, that we may be encouraged and blessed as we look at the word of God today. We pray, our Father, for thy people, that thou would encourage them in the Lord. And Father, for those that know not the Lord, we pray that even today they might realize that there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby men might be saved. And that is the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that even today thou would call them unto thee and save their precious never-dying souls. To this end, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, because we know it's not by man's might or man's eloquence, but it's by my power, saith the Lord. And so we pray that thou would speak to every soul and grant that we'll leave this place rejoicing that we have met with the Lord. Hear this our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday evening, Dr. Saunders, who is preaching today in our church near Buffalo, that Dr. Saunders preached in that beautiful portion in John chapter 14, Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. And in the course of his message, he quoted a verse from Revelation 21, which, as soon as he said it, really fastened upon my mind. Now, he did not know when he was preaching, neither did I know, that our dear brother Curly would be taken from us on the following morning. But the verse that really fastened upon my mind were the first words of verse number 4, where it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And that came to me with freshness and with strength. And I do hope that this morning, as we look at this, that it will be a means of encouragement to all of you, and especially those who are mourning today. With death comes resultant tears. And the Lord tells us here that he will wipe all tears away. And so I believe that this is the text the Lord has for you people today. Now, with regard to tears, we're all familiar with them. There are basically three types of tears that we shed. First of all, there is the tears that we shed continually that are a lubrication for our eyes. There's a chemical composition of the tears, not just water. There's about 12 different elements and features in those tears. And they are there to wash out the dust out of our eyes and to keep them lubricated. And we should thank the Lord for the gift of sight. That's the first sort of tears. Then the second sort of tears are those that you'll find your eyes overflowing when some foreign substance or foreign object gets into your eye. Your eye will immediately begin to pump out more tears in order to try and flush out the one that has come in, the thing that has come in. And so that's the second sort of tears. But then the third sort of tears are unique to human beings. Animals certainly have lubrication for their eyes. And no doubt also you've seen that when they get something in their eye that there is the flowing of tears to flush it out. But the third sort of tears are different to that which the animal kingdom has. And you'll find also that those who have studied these things, they tell us that there is a different chemical composition to the third sort of tears that are unique to human beings. And those are the tears that flow from strong emotion. Either we are so sad that we weep tears, or we are some cases so glad that we weep tears. But the tears do come from a strong emotion. And that's what I want to look at, this third sort of tears. Those are the ones that the Lord is speaking about here in Revelation, that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I've only got 2 points this morning. The first one is the reality of human tears. And then we're going on to look at the heart of this message, which is the tenderness of the Lord in relation to those tears that we suffer. The reality of human tears. Human tears last with us from the moment we're born until the moment we're called home to glory. Because you know how a baby is born? A baby has to, at the very beginning, cry. And if it doesn't cry automatically, the doctor will help it to cry because it has to take its first breath. And with that first breath come the first tears. And so with the human being, the tears, they last from the very first breath that is drawn until we have our final breath. And there's no one of us escapes tears, because the tears are the lot and the parcel of all human beings. Why should we have to suffer the strong emotion, especially of those tears that come from a breaking heart? Why should we have to suffer those? Well, there's some answers to that. First of all, obviously, our tears come because of sin. You remember Peter? Peter lived with the Lord for 3 years, sat in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ, watched him as he did the miracles, listened to him as he gave his gospel, and so on. And for 3 years, Peter sat and walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then on that fateful night when the Lord was arrested prior to being crucified, you remember the story well, how that Peter denied the Lord. Not just once, but 3 times he denied the Lord. And you remember how the cock crew, and it came to Peter as a conviction. But not so much that. The Bible tells us that Jesus, in the place where he was arrested, turned round and he looked at Peter. And that look, we're told, caused Peter to go out and to weep bitterly, because he knew that he had sinned against his master and against his Lord. And friends, sometimes the tears that we shed here in life, they come from the fact that we've allowed sin to come in. Maybe to deny the Lord or betray the Lord. We've allowed something to come in and our hearts are filled with sadness and with grief. And like Peter, we pour out our tears in bitterness. Friends, some of our tears come from our sin. But then also, you'll find that in the Bible, that tears come as a result of satanic activity. Over in the book of Mark, you read the story of the man who had a son who had a dumb spirit. And this dumb spirit cast the young boy down. and they cast him into the fire sometimes, and the young man suffered greatly. And that father, as he looked upon his son's affliction, that he was grieved to his heart, because you know what the Bible tells us with regard to the children. James or John tells us that I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. But then conversely, there's no greater sorrow than to know that a child is going the wrong way. And so, in this father's case here, he was distraught over his son's condition in the hands and the clutches of the wicked one, and he longed to see him delivered. And so he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he pled with him, and he prayed to him. And he said, it tells us there, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, said there, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. My friends, sometimes the tears that we shed are either because of satanic activity in our own lives or satanic activity in the lives of our family. And we long to see these loved ones come to Christ, but they turn their back on the Lord. And they bring tears, and how many a mother and father have wept their hearts out over a son or a daughter who will not turn to the Lord. Then there are also human tears that come from scorn. Job, if you read of him, a tremendous encouraging book, because probably outside the Lord Jesus, no man suffered more than Job did. And yet he was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And Job, he had those three comforters who came along, and they tried to comfort him, but they made things worse because they only suggested Job must be an awful man, an awful sinful man, to have these things happen to him. And poor Job was in distress, and he cried out. And he says, my friends, they scorn me. My friends, they scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. And so in life, sometimes you'll find yourself the object of scorn. If you're a believer, you'll be the object of scorn. And there are many cases when people scorn us and they mock us, and it hits you right deep down the stomach like it hit Job. And you pour out your complaints and your tears unto Almighty God. Then there's also tears that come from internal stress. You take the case of Esther, Queen Esther. And remember how Haman had put out that edict that all the Jews were to be killed. And Esther, even though she was the queen, was in a very difficult situation because her husband, Ahasuerus, had the right and the authority and the power to kill her or anybody at any given time. And Mordecai encouraged her to go in and to intercede for the Jewish people. And the Bible tells us in Esther 8:3, Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman. And she no doubt was stressed greatly. You can read the book there and you can see the stress that was in her life because of the punishment to be meted out to the Jewish people through the wickedness of this man Haman. But my friends, there are times when all of us suffer from great stress. There is stress comes to us from a variety of situations, and we come like Job of old and others in the Bible, and we pour out our hearts and pour out our tears before God. Because the stress is so great, we feel we're going to break. And I would say a few people have not been to the place where they felt they're almost at breaking point because of the stress of the world round about. And especially for those who are trying in the world to hold up a standard of righteousness. And you find that the world is against the righteousness of God. And anything we try to do, they go against it. and the sins and the wickedness of the world, they multiply and they multiply as though the child of God almost comes to face, why, Lord? And pour out their tears. Lord, society is dying, is going down the tubes. What are we going to do? And there are, of course, family situations and business situations and all kinds of situations where the pressure builds up inside. And the tears, they flow. As long as they're directed to God, you'll get an answer. There's another one, and that is, human tears come not just from sin and satanic activity and scorn and stress, but sometimes they come through sickness. At the funeral here on Thursday morning, I spoke about King Hezekiah. How that the Lord told Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah to set his house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And the problem was that Hezekiah was ill. He had a boil. And a boil doesn't seem to be very serious, but when you look at it in the light of Leviticus, it probably was the beginnings of leprosy, that loathsome disease. And so we discover that Hezekiah is greatly concerned because of his illness, and he cries out. The Bible tells us there that he cried out and tears flowed because of his illness. My friend, it's only those who have been there can understand what that's like. Dear Curly suffered quite a bit over this past 2 or 3 years with illness and always maintained a bright and a happy countenance with the humour they always had. But you could read between the lines every so often and you could see that there was a heart there that was crying. Especially that last visit that Larry and I had with him last Sunday. He knew that the end wasn't far away. And no doubt, at least inwardly, he was weeping tears because of the sickness that was slowly but inexorably claiming the life of a victim. My friend, we have tears of sickness. And then there are also the tears of self. And that is when circumstances press in upon us and things are not going the way that we want them to go. And at times you feel so lonely and you cry out, Lord, why me? Why should this happen to me? Why are other people living all right, but why are these distresses come to me? And they're followed by tears. You think of Moses. Great calling he had to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. But as he started out in this tremendous undertaking under the power of God, Moses discovered that the people were more against him than they were for him, and they talked even of stoning the servant of God. And so Moses cried out there in Exodus, why, Lord? Why is it that thou hast sent me? I'm sure at that time Moses wept and wondered why did he have to suffer. But the Lord had an answer for that, because Moses had a job to do and he would pass through the valley before he'd come to the mountaintop of blessing. I think also of Jacob. I want to start again a series of studies in the life of Joseph and hope to start sometime soon, maybe next week. Joseph is a wonderful study, wonderful type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jacob is up there in Canaan. Joseph is down in Egypt, and as far as Jacob is concerned, Joseph is dead, killed by a wild animal. And then, of course, they went down into Egypt because of the famine that gripped the land. And they go down to get wheat and to buy corn. And of course, Joseph, he knows who they are, but they don't know who he is. And he asks for Simeon to stay down there. He wants also to see his younger brother, Benjamin. And so the brothers go back and they tell the father that he's kept Simeon, but he will not give us any more corn unless Benjamin goes down. And old Jacob, he said, all of these things. All of these things are against me. But we know the rest of the story. And we would love to be able to say to Jacob, just look round the corner, because there are deliverances and there are things that are going to happen that you never believed could have happened. And so we sometimes lose the tears because of ourselves and because of the pressures of life round about us. And sometimes we cry out, "Why, Lord?" Then again, we weep tears because of our service. You would think it was easy to do the work of the Lord, my friend, it's not. Because once you sign on to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and you become a Christian, you have the devil who will fight you every inch of the way. But we know we are victorious and we can see the evident tokens of the victory that the Lord gives to us, but it doesn't make the service of God any easier. Psalm 126 tells us that they that sow in tears, they shall reap in joy. But you'd think surely the sowing the gospel, that's going to be joy and that's going to be tremendous blessing. I remember speaking in Malachi chapter 1, the first verse, where it speaks there of the burden of the word of the Lord. And a man came to me afterwards, just down our Warden Avenue church, and he says, "There's no such thing as the burden of the word of the Lord." I said to him, "You obviously have never been in the work of God, because the work of the Lord does have a burden, and if it doesn't burden your heart, you'll never see anything done for God." And so the service of God is not easy. Paul tells us several times in the book of Acts how that he warned the people and he preached to the people with tears, trying to get them to turn and repent and turn to the living God. And my friend, the Christian who does not have tears in the service of the Lord has a problem. Because Jeremiah cried in his book, chapter 9 and verse 1, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Let me ask you, friend, Christian friend, when did you last shed a tear over the salvation of some soul? We walk through the shopping malls of the city, and you see hundreds, nay, thousands of people. Do you ever notice them? Do you ever think to pray for them? And I say, and I ask these questions of myself as well. You see people by the thousands driving up and down on our highways. Do you ever stop to think that in every car there's at least one soul that needs to be saved? Are you ever concerned? Have you ever shed a tear? Oh, the Lord would speak to our hearts, because we need something of the feeling of Jeremiah, that her head were waters and her eyes a fountain of tears, that might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. And then another cause of tears is a struggle, because as I said, as believers, we are called to fight against the world, the flesh and the devil. If you take, for example, yesterday, according to the news, great stuff in Italy over the wedding of a couple of film stars. And the news is filled with that. And the man, he is belonging to the Church of Scientology, which has nothing to do with biblical Christianity at all. And yet notice how they laud him and they will raise him up to the nth degree. It's only when you are a fundamental Christian who believes the Bible from beginning to end that you'll find that the world out there has no time for you. And so we are engaged, as Paul told us, in a war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. But while we do shed tears in the war, let us never forget that we will have the victory ultimately by the grace of the Lord. And then finally, on this point, and obviously, The reality of human tears coming from sorrow. You go to the Bible, and did you ever hear a more heart-rending cry than that of King David over his son Absalom? And he cried, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." David's heart was breaking because his son was killed in the battle. And that battle was erected and raised by Absalom against his father that sent his father into exile. Absalom was a wicked son. And yet look at the tears shed over a wicked one. How much more the tears that are shed over a loved one, loved husband or wife, son or daughter, father, mother. We shed the tears, and every one of us have been there, and we sorrow. But let's move on to this verse. God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. And we're brought face to face with the tenderness of the Lord. Because the first thing is that the Lord sees. Whether your tears are from any of these things that I've mentioned here, or others even, the Lord sees. Because you take Hezekiah again, greatly distressed because of his illness, and he's had the word, "Thou shalt die and shall not live." And so he's greatly distressed. And yet the Lord sent to him Isaiah. And what was Isaiah's message to Hezekiah from the Lord? It says there, "I have seen thy tears." So my friend today, whether your tears have been in public mourning or in private times of weeping, nothing escapes the eye of the Lord. He knows. He sees. He understands and is able to help. And so he sees. He also remembers, because over in Psalm 56, the psalmist says, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Put thy tears into my bottle." Now that is referring to an ancient practice, some evidence that has been found in Egypt from a long, long time ago, where at somebody coming near dying and they're weeping, they would come along and they'd collect the tears in either a vial, a glass vial, or even probably more so, a wine skin. And they collected the tears. Whether that is true or not, we don't know, but the psalmist is certainly saying, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle." Now there's something there that we must not miss, even from that ancient custom. In order for the tears to be put into the bottle, there has to be a visitation by somebody. Somebody in the hospital, sick bed, crying, somebody has to come actually collect the tears. And my friend, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to see the import of that particular verse. Because it implies a visitation of the Lord. There can be no bottling of the tears unless the Lord himself is there. And for those whose hearts are breaking, and for those whose tears are flowing, then what the psalmist said, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle," that implies that the Lord comes and he collects, and especially he remembers. So today, God has not forgotten to be gracious, but the Lord remembers you in your time of need. And then, not only does he see and remember, but he also encourages us. Next, probably to Job in the Old Testament, the man of sorrows is Jeremiah. He's known as the weeping prophet. And yet in chapter 31 and verse number 16, God comes to him in the middle of his tears. And God says, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine ears from thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. So the Lord tells us. He knows about it, and he encourages us ourselves to wipe the tears away, because our work, no matter how difficult it may seem to be, the work will be rewarded. God has not forgotten to be gracious, as it says in Hebrews, but the Lord will provide a blessing to those who are going through the valley of difficulty. And the Bible tells us also that there is weeping for a time, but weeping is followed also by rejoicing. But then there's something more. The Lord sees. The Lord remembers the tears. The Lord encourages us in the tears. And then he sympathizes with us. Three times in the New Testament, you'll find the tears of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, do not miss those tears. The first ones come from the cross. Because we're told in Hebrews 5 and 7 regarding Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. So we're told that at the cross, and Hebrews 5 is speaking about the sacrifice of the Lord, at the cross, the tears flowed from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he is the one who helps us and understands, because just across the page in Hebrews 4, it says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so today, if your heart is breaking and the tears are flowing, you haven't got an unfeeling Savior. You have a Savior who knows all about it. He's been tried himself. He has shed the tears. He suffered like no man ever suffered. And he is able, therefore, to succor those that are cast down. You see, he's able to help. But then there's another time that the Lord is, we're told, he cried. And that was when he stood at the Mount of Olives and looked down over the ancient golden city of Jerusalem. We're told there that he wept over it in Luke's Gospel. And the word wept there is not just to silently cry. It is to sob with great convulsions. I think in my own life I've only experienced that once or maybe twice. Certainly the first time I well remembered was the murder of our minister. 3 or 4 days afterwards, I never shed a tear, which is unusual for me. Went to the funeral and saw him lying in the casket. And I sobbed as I never sobbed before. Whole body convulsed. Couldn't stop. My friend, that's what Jesus did when he's looking down over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, it killeth the prophets. How oft would I have gathered thee, but you would not? How oft would Jesus have gathered you to his bosom and saved your soul, but you would not? Ah, friend, don't keep saying no to the Lord, because you'll find there's a day coming when the Spirit of God will withdraw his interest in your life, and you'll go down into death, and from there to the caverns of the damned, without God, without Christ, and without hope in this world or the world to come. The third time, with regard to the weeping of the Lord Jesus, first on the cross, the second there, weeping over Jerusalem, and then backing up in time to the grave. And you see him standing there, outside the tomb in Bethany. Mary and Martha and their friends are weeping because Lazarus is dead. Dead 4 days, put into the tomb. Quietly weeping is the Lord. The shortest verse in the Bible, 2 words. Jesus wept. And yet what tremendous emotion is found in those 2 words as he came along. And he looked upon Mary and Martha. He is the sympathizing Jesus. And today, in your pain and your sorrow and your woe, the Lord is there and is able to help in time of need. You see, Lazarus would be resurrected. And as we say farewell to our friends who die in the Lord Jesus, while we do shed the tears, we know that in the resurrection morning they'll be raised incorruptible and shall be with the Lord forevermore. But not only does the Lord see us and remember us and encourage us and sympathize with us, but he comforts us. Because here in Revelation 21 is a most amazing verse of Scripture. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Reminds of Psalm 103 where it says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And what a picture you have here in Revelation 21. You've all had the example in the situation of a little child crying. Maybe fell, hurt itself, or maybe is ill or something. But the tears are coursing down the cheeks and it's inconsolable. Mother or father, that takes it up. That takes out either a handkerchief or a Kleenex and gently dabs the tears away and says, don't cry. Mother's here, father's here, we're here to help you. Don't cry. And they wipe the tears away. Almighty God is telling us that's what he does. As our Heavenly Father, and he is the God of infinity, the God who spake this whole universe into being. And you and I are very small, insignificant lumps of clay on a world that itself is only a speck of dust in the ocean of the universe. That God comes down and wipes the tears away from your eyes. He does it first of all on earth, because we've talked about the tears that we all suffer on earth, and we face the sorrows and difficulties, but the Lord comes and comforts us and tells us, weeping may endure for night, but joy that cometh in the morning. And you can look back in your experience. You remember times when your heart was breaking, and yet the joy of the Lord came eventually, and you are blessed. And so he gives us comfort here on earth. But this is speaking here about the comfort of the Lord on the last day. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And he's going to have to do that. Because when we see the Lord, there will be tears. We will be like Jeremiah, that our head is a fountain of waters, and our eyes are a fountain of tears. And that is because when we see the Lord, we see him, we will be filled with regrets. Oh Lord, why did I not live better for thee? Why did I not worship thee more? Why did I not work for thee more? And so the tears will be flowing. We'll think of missed opportunities that God brought before us to reach others with the gospel, and we failed. And we'll remember those and we'll weep, and the tears will course down because of the missed opportunities. And then if we're honest, we'll look into our own hearts and we'll weep on that day because of our miserable service for God. Oh, we can say, Lord, we did our best, but what is our best? So often miserable. Even C.S. Spurgeon, that great preacher, he said that I find when I go to pray, I can't pray the way I want to, and sometimes I don't even want to pray. He says, sometimes I come to read the Bible, and here is the word of a living God, God's message to dying humanity. And he said, at times I read it, and I get nothing from it. And if that was C.S. Spurgeon, how much more is that true of you and me? And so the tears, and then the outright failures. Oh Lord, Lord, we have failed thee so much. And that day when we see him, we'll look at him in his splendor and his glory, and we'll look at our miserable selves, the tears will flow. And that's the time that God himself will take his divine handkerchief, if you like, and he will wipe away the tears, and he will wipe away the very last tear that you'll ever shed, because we're told there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death in heaven. They'll be forever gone. And we enter into the joy of the Lord forevermore. My friend, what a wonderful verse of Scripture. We need the sympathizing Jesus. And he is the sympathizing Jesus. Whatever your need is today, he's able to come. And as we often say, he's only a prayer away. He's standing in the shadows. And he's willing to help you in your time of need. My friend, if you know not the Lord, do not delay. Do not delay, but come this day and say, Lord, I am a failure. I've sinned against thee. I've broken thy commandments. I'm not worthy to receive the mercies of the Lord. But in the words of that one in the Bible, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And thank God he will be. And he'll wipe the tears of repentance away. And you'll rejoice in the good hand of the Lord upon your life. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before the Scripture, Lord, and we hardly can understand the love of God that would so love us as is demonstrated in the word of the Lord. O God, fill the hearts of thy people with joy in the Lord. And Lord, we pray for those who are here who know not the Lord, that they may no longer delay, but call out to thee, and thou hast said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. O God, cause some soul to cry out to thee today. Wipe away the tears of repentance and fill them with the joy of the Lord that is the strength of the believer. Hear this our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as our closing hymn number 634.